Broadcasting live from the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, for HIMSS 19, it's This Just In. Now here's your host, HIT advisor Justin Barnes.
Welcome back, and thank you very much. I have one final guest here at HIMSS 19, Ligia Ricciardi, from Chief Transformation Officer from Carium. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Justin.
This is your first time on the show. I'm very excited to have you. And since I don't know Carium very well, I would love you to spend a minute or 90 seconds or so. We just did a great countdown here, so now we're really versed on seconds. But 90 seconds or so on what Carium is and what you guys do.
It's a software company that builds a patient engagement platform. So we partner with existing health systems, community-based organizations, and others to provide an online experience or an app-based experience that guides patients through their health and wellness journey. So that's like prompts, mm-hmm. like don't forget to follow through on that appointment with the specialist, but it's also kind of nudges and encouragement about getting more exercise or eating better, that kind of thing.
What type of innovations are you deploying in that platform? Are you using like voice? Are you using other types of what type of technology, texts, or what are you using for?
So like I think a lot of these things we may expand into. We're mm-hmm. under a year old. We were actually started last April, but we are up and running with the Petaluma Health Center and
yes,
with other
I
folks
saw
too,
that. Yes.
whom I can't yet announce.
Yeah.
But right now, part of what we're doing that's really innovative is that we are using behavior change science to understand kind of what's motivating people and to tailor how we motivate them based on things that we know about them. So that's one thing that we're doing. And we're really trying to understand and get to know the person, not just like what's your health history,
right.
but things like how are you feeling today? How are you feeling yesterday? Is there a trend? You know, what's important to you? Those kinds of questions. The idea being that, you know, technology, part of what's really cool is that technology can really bring us personalization at scale.
Very true. And you have deep consumerism roots. So say, give me 30 seconds from your ONC post and what you did there, because you did great work.
Sure. There. Thank you. So I went to ONC in the midst of implementation of the High Tech Act, and I was 2011, actually.
2011? Okay, yeah.
I was already super passionate about empowering consumers and patients, and I went there with that in mind. And I would say it was something that the agency had thought of, mm-hmm. but while I was there, I really worked hard to expand it and to collaborate with partners both within ONC and a lot in the outside community too to say this consumer thing, this isn't just like a small add-on, this is a really, really major part of how we're going to
yes.
transform healthcare.
Was Farzad the coordinator then, or who was the coordinator then?
I actually was there with three different coordinators,
okay.
Blumenthal briefly,
yeah,
and
it.
Farzad during the whole of his tenure as national coordinator,
yep.
although he was part of the
and then
team
Jacob,
that hired
right?
me. Jacob as well, yes, and Karen DeSalvo. So
okay.
actually I got four.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's right. Very cool. And then also, did I see you outside? Do you have a cape on? Are you wearing a cape? Because Rasu was here earlier.
I may have a cape.
I think you have a cape on. You're the communicator?
That's supposed to be off the record. But
I love
yes.
it.
I actually wanted to be the consumerista because
yeah.
I used to kind of be called that.
Yeah, exactly.
But that didn't exactly hit the, it's like we had to have a certain form of word. So they decided on communicator, which works okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
But I communicate a lot about consumer stuff.
And
it's
I
all
like
good, though.
Yeah, no, I like consumerista. That's fantastic. Okay, so now let's talk into some of the thought leader stuff. What healthcare and health IT trends are you seeing or are you navigating out in the industry? Let me touch
on
a little bit.
So having come from ONC, I am pretty excited about the announcement yesterday
yes.
by ONC and CMS.
Elise was here earlier.
Yeah,
Elise, yes.
so you've already heard about it somewhat, but
yes.
just for those
please,
who perhaps
yeah.
weren't listening,
yes.
this is kind of furthering the idea of how dare them.
No.
This is furthering the idea of patient access to data, and in this case, using APIs to do it.
Love
and
it.
That's really exciting, not only because it just generally makes it easier, but also because it enables a whole ecosystem of apps and tools, like the company I work at now,
yes.
to be built around consumers.
Half my guests today are in that boat. They love APIs and
yeah.
the push here.
Well,
yeah.
like, again, this whole idea that, like, nothing's going to change, big picture in healthcare, unless mm-hmm. we have real sort of cross-collaboration among different silos and different industries. And I love that we're increasingly seeing the healthcare industry work with tech and consumer-oriented tech, whether that's, you know, startups or big established companies.
Yep. Nope, that's fantastic. Yeah, my first guest or my second guest was the niche. So
gotcha.
you can't get away. You know, we started the show right off with APIs, and we geeked out right on the...
Oh, I bet you did.
From the get-go, so Perfect. I love it, though. What are two or three best practices that you can share with my guests around how to navigate these trends or get more involved in them?
So I will say this. If you think about one trend as further engaging consumers, which this rule or proposed set of rules is supporting, you have to really think about what's going to motivate your consumer or your customer. I think too often in healthcare we think about healing the patient and what we think in a kind of paternalistic way often is best for them.
Yep.
But we have to kind of ask, literally ask people, why are you motivated? So if the issue is, hey, I need you to get in shape and like lose 10 pounds, maybe you're motivated because you want to go back to your high school reunion or you want to play with your grandkids or whatever it is. And if you sort of start with the motivation and then some of the specific goals, that's one best practice.
Excellent.
Like really think of your consumer first.
Yep.
I would say another one is to recognize that so much of health and wellness is influenced by not just what happens in the healthcare system, but all the things that happen outside. So not just, you know, increasingly people are talking about social determinants of health, socioeconomic factors that impact people's lives. That matters. Genomics matter. It's all these things. You know, actual healthcare impacts only about 10% of your overall picture of well-being. So think beyond, you know, what happens in the office, in the clinic. Think about people's kind of lifescape as they go about their days and bring healthcare to them.
Nope, that's fantastic. Thinking about, because we talk about a lot of here and now at HIMSS. But thinking about 3 years from now, in 2022, what should we keep our eye on to have to navigate them or to be able to, you know, successfully navigate to thrive?
So a lot of people are talking about artificial intelligence now. That's something we can't sort of escape.
94% of my guests today have talked about AI.
Okay, so we don't even need to go back to that then.
Well, but in a really positive way. People, initially, they're snickering, not on air, but just in the last, oh, it's a hype, it's hype. No, it's actually not hype. It's actually being involved in care strategies, care planning. Now doctors want to be trained on it, so
well,
it's
part
cool.
of what's going on is that we have this immense proliferation of data. And if you look at consumers' lives, as I was saying, and you try and sort of piece together the whole picture of what influences someone's health, a lot of that is things that are beyond the traditional health system, other kinds of data, like what I ate for lunch and all these, you know, my moods, whom I spoke to, all kinds of other details. And people can be overwhelmed by data. AI is one thing that can help you navigate, whether you're in the provider position or the patient perspective, like make sense of that. What are the trends that matter? What are the things that we can pull out of that that we really need to watch? So I think we need AI in order to kind of navigate the masses of data that we now have access
to. Agree
completely. But it's also important to not sort of just kind of say like, oh, AI will fix everything.
Right. Yes.
I mean, what is
AI? It'll solve
healthcare. Like that still depends on a lot of rules and algorithms that are ultimately written by people. We have to figure out what matters. And we have
That's
to figure out how to do it in ways that are relatively unbiased as well, which is a challenge. So there's a lot that we're learning, I think, as an industry to figure out how to make AI more actually intelligent.
That's very good. And then also, I think the other side of AI is artificial intelligence, but augmented intelligence. I think it's when you get in with the doctors and care providers, you know, they still are going to be the domain expert, but we can use that. They can augment what we do and so forth.
Can I just say,
please,
speaking about augmentation?
Yes.
So augmented reality is another thing that I think is going to be really interesting and coming down the pike
in
just a few years.
Yes.
I mean, already, if you've ever like played Pokemon Go or used a Snapchat filter, augmented reality is happening.
I have not done either of those, though.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, you're almost off, right?
Yes.
I'll show you. It's going to be fun.
Cool.
But so let's incorporate those things for healthcare.
Yep.
So as you're grocery shopping, why not say like, you know, have sort of like an overlay of like, you could mix up these Brussels sprouts with that olive oil and that garlic and you could put together a whatever as an example.
Yeah, that's great.
So you could do all kinds of things.
Well, I'm a big foodie, so I love that example.
All right. Awesome.
Yes. Perfect.
Well, apparently we both have had Italian grandmothers, so that makes sense.
Yes. And she did teach him how to cook, too. No, I agree completely. Actually, last year, a panel that we had in the radio show talked about augmented reality, and they gave several examples that are being done today around doing, they don't usually do cadavers anymore. They actually do a lot of their surgeries through augmented reality and virtual reality.
Yes.
And so, you know.
Another thing, I don't know if people talked about this, but like venipuncture.
Mm-hmm.
So have you seen these things? It's like this scanner you can put over someone's arm, and you can sort of see in an augmented way where someone's blood vessels are and where all the veins are, and therefore your stick rate of success is significantly higher.
Yeah. Nope. I love it. And
so
I agree
with
you.
It's pretty cool.
It is. So In closing, what do you hope to achieve over the next couple of days here? You're going to communicate a lot with people.
Yep.
But what are you looking to achieve, or what are you looking forward to in the next couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm looking forward to and what I'm hoping to achieve actually is, you know, I've made this switch from working in policy. I spent a number of years consulting in my own private practice. Now I'm working with a tech company, and I'm really interested in partnerships and unconventional partnerships. I think it's very interesting that we've got, you know, Uber and Lyft here talking about working with healthcare, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So people from sort of non-traditional combinations coming together, I'm interested in exploring some of those with my company and
well,
also learning about...
You came to a grand slam place for that.
I know, it's a good place for that, but also sort of seeing what other kinds of creative partnerships are percolating, because I think, obviously not even the biggest, you know, like there was the Apple-Aetna merger announced just the other, you know, recently, last week. And not even the biggest, you know, tech company can, like, go at something alone anymore.
Right.
Certainly in healthcare, we've all got a partner. Yep. So that's where it gets interesting.
Well, I'm going to give Lyft another plug. I actually had an unfortunate incident with Uber on Monday morning where they canceled my trip to the airport. And we Evelyn and Jamie brought up Lyft and the Allscripts Lyft partnership. And just I want to give Lyft another. And also they've helped sponsor him, so we'll give Lyft another plug.
That is pretty cool.
Because they're thinking innovatively and how to partner. But I think Uber will as well. I mean, actually, 4 years ago or 3 years ago, I was in Arizona for actually a college football game. And one of the drivers, our Uber driver, I always ask people questions when I travel and I get along with the community.
You learn a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I always talk to them. And I said, so how long have you been driving? He's like, well, I've only been driving for Uber for a couple of months, but I work for a hospital. And I'm like, well, what's the difference? Oh, I make 10 times what I make. Or no, 20 times. I make 20 times the amount of money working for the hospital than I do Uber. I'm like, why? Oh, because the exact same trip costs 20 times more working for a hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, well, what's wrong with healthcare?
Well, so, you know that like a Uber's ride in like, that. You know, an ambulance costs, what, 2,000 times as much or something
like
that.
Yeah, well, it's more than, it's like $100 a mile. Or I think it's like $500 a mile. Something ridiculous like that. No, it's $100 a mile, I think it is, to ride an ambulance. But they're just driving a car, like a car.
So maybe one day we'll get crowd shares, you know, like anyone can be an ambulance for a few hours.
Well, I think what it is I understand I understand the complexity of the ambulance, but I don't understand. He gets paid. He
no,
got
you're
paid
right. Yeah, yeah,
20
yeah.
20 times to be in the same Toyota Corolla to drive someone to a hospital, then drive someone in
an
Uber.
Is that because?
Because it's a healthcare, just because
healthcare.
We're an open book. We're an open checkbook. We all pay. This is ridiculous. And we start cutting that stuff out. And that's when I knew Uber's going to disrupt that model. Because even if they charge double, it's still less than 20 times.
Sure.
Is what the other companies are charging. These are private organizations that hire drivers at 20x what Uber's charging.
Presumably, though, maybe that person who's driving for healthcare had to go through some extra background checks or... I don't know, drive carefully or don't, I don't know. One does hope, but
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyhow, Ligia, true pleasure to have you on air today. I'm glad you could join the show and I'd love to have you back. As you develop as you build your company, let me know. I'd love to have you on air. I love what you guys are doing. So
excellent.
Appreciate
thank you,
it.
Justin.
You got
it's
it.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Awesome. And thank you, everybody. That is a complete wrap for today. I appreciate all of you for joining us, and certainly tune in. We'll be broadcasting this here. If you miss any of this episode, probably within a week or so, we'll have all this posted up. But thank you so much, everybody. Have a great week.